scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Romans. In chapter 10, starting in verse 14, it reads, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, the Lord, who has believed our report. So the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out of all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people." I finally made it through. Brother Don.
There we go. Thanks, Brother Tom. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being here this morning. I love you all and appreciate you all. The title of our lesson this morning is, Who Has Believed Our Report? Lord, who has believed our report? And so here's our question this morning. We got homework. What's your report? What is your report? What is our report? Well, you know what happens when a report's involved? Somebody has to be graded. We talked about that a little bit ago, a few weeks back. And folks, I think the world wants to be grading people instead of listening to the report. And it's God's business to do the grading, like we talked about a few weeks ago. And it's our responsibility as his children to share these things. This morning we're going to study in God's word with others, but also implement them in our lives. So I ask us, what does your report reveal to the world? And what do you report? Because the world has God mislabeled, misunderstood. And in the process of doing that, it enables them to self-justify right from wrong, good from evil, and to do whatever they please. Like for us, I'm not going to teach on how beautiful my feet are today, okay? But I would like for us to look at a couple. This is the passage and the words of the passage that made me think of this. And that is, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Obviously, this is Old Testament. Who has believed our report? But I ask us to apply that today to our lives. Who has believed our report? And I ask us if our report are glad tidings of good things. Or is your report a list of do's and don'ts? Or constraints? Or rules? Because for me, the report is love and his peace and his joy and his happiness. Is that not the report that God brought to us through his Son? So when I ask us this morning, as you think about good tidings, obviously we are in the season of good tidings, of love, joy, peace. Another reason why we're focusing on those things this morning. But who has believed our report? Do we have people in our lives? I got to pick these up. There's a couple of coins dropped. I keep seeing them. I'm going to pick them up. That's me. Does everybody understand God just like you would have them to understand God? Your report of God. What about if you look at the news and how they portray God? Okay? Or some places in the workplace, how they portray God. Some people in the world, how they portray God. Their report of God, is it good news and glad tidings? And unless they are of him, I would say probably not. So in 1 John chapter 4 it is written, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in him, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God whom he has not seen? And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Who has believed our report? This report says God is love. And those people that know that God is love and understands true love, not false love, not the love of the world, loves his brother, loves his neighbor as himself, does not hate. I don't know about you, but I'm tempted to hate people and hate things. Maybe you guys are just going along and don't feel any of that angst in life. I do. I struggle with it. Now, I don't walk around all day long wanting to punch somebody in the throat. But there are times in my life when I want to be like George Costanza and scream, Serenity Now! Those of you that know who he is and what he did and said. Do you think Jesus ever felt like that? Of course he did. That's when he went to the garden, prayed. I need some help. I need your strength. I know who you are. I know you're the God of love and peace and joy. I know this isn't all there is in life. There's so much more to life than death and hurt and sorrow and pain. I'm not going to dwell on those things, even though I see him every day in my life, and I see him in the hearts of the people I love. God is love. Don't let the world con you into God being something anything else than love. Because the world wants to tell you what love is, and they start describing sinful things. And that's not the truth. God is love. And if you ask, well, how can God allow things to happen? You know what? That's God's business. And when you get up there, if you follow him and obey him, you can ask him that question. But right now he says, I'm love, and love your neighbors yourself, and don't hate one another. And if there's hate in your heart, you better get rid of it and look back at this passage, because I'm full of love. It's God's business to destroy the earth with a flood. Why? Because of sin. So if we love as God loves, we're going to see sin as God sees sin. We're not going to accept sin and evil and unrighteousness as a people, as an individual in the kingdom of heaven. Who has believed our report? Long portions of the passage, there's multiple passages in the Bible about Jesus coming to this earth. And it's recorded, even if you don't have your heart, mind, and your soul and believe that this is God's book of love and the word unto mankind. Look at the world history and it'll still tell you that he was here. And of the great things he did. And no one has ever been like him before or after. And this is what he said in John 14, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives it, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. For you have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I am going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I." So I ask us this morning, Jesus says, my peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Do you have that peace that Jesus has promised? And if we look at the formulas and we look at God's holy word as a formula, we think, okay, how am I going to do that? God, how am I going to let that peace, your peace, how am I going to walk this world of sin and evil and unrighteousness, and have love and peace and joy? And Jesus said, don't be afraid. Perfect love casts out all fear, we just read. Let your heart not be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Rejoice because you know who Jesus is and where he is right now. How many of us, either with people we love or our neighbors or our children or our grandchildren, would love to be able to have that other dimension like angels and God have and be able to be all places at all times so you could watch over them and take care of them? I would. I'd love to be able to help them. I'd love to spend a whole day watching my grandchildren and what they go through and their character traits. I only get to spend a little bit of time with them. Jesus says, rejoice because I'm in heaven doing that with you right now. I'm with you. I'm watching you. I care about you. I love you. I want you to be loved and feel love and love back. I don't want you to be full of hate. I want you to have the peace. I walked on this earth amidst turmoil and people that were wrong religiously and people that hated me and a government that was full of evilness and unrighteousness. And God wanted him to come at that time. For him to experience those things, to show us and prove to us, no matter what comes our way, we too have him up there looking out for us. We can rejoice because he is up there in heaven and he conquered all things. He has overcome. Who has believed our report? It's written in John chapter 15, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask in the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another. I bring this passage to light because of the season and how we see it, and we see it, and I pray when you see holiday season things and you see love and joy and peace, that you think about Jesus and God in these passages we've looked at this morning. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you. Does God's word bring joy to your heart? Comfort in the scriptures? I think that's written, right? I don't know about you, but when DC reads passages up here, Brother Tom reads God's word, I hear God's word quoted, I read it online, I read his open Bible, I read his book of love, it's overwhelming, it's uplifting, it's encouraging, it's edifying. It's the bread of life. It sustains us. It's a living water. It's what has been left so we may have joy and peace and love and happiness. You notice that all the things we talk about this morning, the passage we've seen about joy and peace and love, it all reverts back to loving one another and loving God and obeying his commandments. And in order to do that, you need to know what God's commandments are. And the only way we know that is by his holy word. And reasoning amongst ourselves and studying his word. And sharing it with others. As it's talked about in our passage this morning in Romans chapter 10. There is a large contrast between what the world says are things and what God's word says are things. And God and the world wants to take a little bit of God here and a little bit of God there, but not put the whole picture together for us. And then we wonder sometimes when we go the way of the world and we try to understand God by the way of the world, we struggle sometimes. So I brought this passage to light in our lesson this morning from Galatians chapter 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Well, that's what the holiday says, then it stops, right? Those are the three things you see during the holiday season. Love, joy, and peace. God's word doesn't stop there, though. No. That's what I'm bringing to light. God's word doesn't stop there. It says, and long-suffering, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So if we look at God's word, and I like using this term because I think it fits so well. The ingredients. So if you only, what happens if you only use those two ingredients? I'm going to love everybody, be full of joy and full of peace. But you know what? I've had about enough of that person. You know what? I just don't want to be kind to that person. They've been evil to me. My boss is a jerk. Somebody's hurt my feelings. I think I'm going to tell them what I think about them. Boy, that doesn't sound like being gentle or being in self-control, does it? Have you ever been very gentle with someone and very full of kindness and lost your self-control? Now, Kelly, I don't like that. This is my wife, for you who don't know. Kelly, I really don't like that. I prefer you don't do that. What are you doing? Two totally different responses. Now, I'll be honest with you. I still work on that. Obviously, because it come out pretty quick and easy, didn't it? That's why we have an author and finisher of our faith, Jesus. Don's not the author and finisher of faith. If I was, we'd be in a world of hurt. When we look to each other for love and joy and peace, yes, but we also need to look at each other for long-suffering, kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And we'll work on those things until we meet with him. But to grasp them as good tidings, good things, glad tidings of good things, it's good to love and be kind and have gentleness and self-control. If you don't, I think probably one of the, and I don't know whether I want to ask for my family to give amen on this or not, but I think something I've struggled with a long time, and I probably will continue that, is self-control. I'll give you an example. Kelly and I were in Michigan Friday, and we're going to look, and I was going to buy some garage doors for the cabin. So I go up to the desk, and I order this long. What time is it? Yeah, I'll make it short. I order wood, doors, supposed to be in stock. Sign says they're in stock. We don't have any. We can order them for you. They'll be here the 15th. Well, I want to put them in tomorrow. No. Okay. I decide not getting stuff here, at least that stuff. We had a cart full of stuff we got at the place at Menards. So we go to Lowe's. We shop all over. We're just not one specific, but anyways. So we go there and we look for doors. This time we're trying to get some different doors. And I give up the idea of getting garage doors, so we have a couple patio doors that we want to put in. So we look for patio doors, and they happen to have some, and we get the salesman's very astute with who makes what and the standards. And I was pleased with how he helped us make a decision. We still had to decide to buy or not, and we did. We bought a couple patio doors, double patio doors. So we got them out there on the truck, and I said, can you guys give me a hand putting them in the truck a little bit? Well, we waited and waited and waited, and a stranger come by and was going to kind of help a little bit. And he's kind of like, how are you going to do this? My truck bed's about this high. I didn't have a trailer with me. I don't know about you. There's 6 foot by 8 foot six double glass doors. And there's two of them. They're pretty big to put up in the back of a, three-quarter ton pickup. Well, finally we got a whole bunch of minions from Lowe's there in their shorts and their short sleeves in Michigan in 20-degree weather. And, they're shaking more about the weather than they are trying to help put the doors in the truck. We get the doors in the truck, get them all strapped down. I start driving. I'm like, uh-oh, I don't have my glasses. And I'm nearsighted, so I have glasses to see far away. Kelly, you see my glasses? That's the first thing. You see my glasses? No. So I stop, park, get out, go look where we loaded them, looking. You know, we were this close to walking inside the store to start looking for my glasses, because I'd take them off because I was reading labels and doing all that stuff. And then, anyways, they were underneath the cardboard while I was up in the truck strapping everything down. I'd stepped on my glasses. And I don't know about you guys, but my glasses aren't $9.95 glasses from Walgreens, okay? They're eyeglasses, seeing glasses, and luckily I have a couple pairs. And you want to talk about self-control. I can't blame nobody but me, because I'm the only one who was standing up in the back of that truck. So there's one lens, and they're twisted all around, and I'm like, oh, man. I need your help, God, because I don't want to be somebody I don't want to be. And I fiddled with them and got them. Kelly, let me help. I'm not ready to give up yet. And I got them put back together and bent them back around. I was amazed. It's crazy. And I cleaned them off, put them on, no scratches. Thank you, Jesus. I use that as an example to say all kinds of things happen in our daily lives, in our daily walk, and we got to walk by faith. We got to choose self-control. We got to choose to be happy and joyous, even though things don't go our way. And sometimes we step on our own glasses. If we look at the big picture, a lot of times our angst comes from the decisions that we make. And not to blame God or somebody else or the world or turn into somebody that's hateful, but continue to be a person of love, a person of peace, a person of joy. Our last passage this morning comes from Jesus in John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the life, and the truth. No one comes to the Father except through me. Title of our lesson this morning, Who's Believed Our Report? There's a lot of folks in this world that don't believe that God sent his only begotten Son. They don't believe in Jesus, his power, his grace, his mercy, his blood, his love, his peace, his joy. Have you embraced the report that was brought to us thousands of years ago, that there are glad tidings of good things, that God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him, and that Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Walk in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Let not your heart be troubled. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one greater than Jesus to cast your cares and troubles upon, and to lean on him and kneel at the cross. He's always there ready for you. If you haven't given your life to him, we invite you to do that this morning. If you have any needs of congregation, we invite you to do that and come forward as we stand and sing a selected hymn this morning.